ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Enjoy, sit, relax. Okay? All right, so we left off. I don't know about you, but I'm really enjoying this. Thank you for this opportunity. This has to be the longest lecture I've ever done in my life. So I will remember this day forever. So, after 1 year, Krishna, the cowherd boys and calves, the expansions of Krishna, returned to that same spot. For Lord Brahma, it had only been a moment of his time. So when he came back to the spot, he saw that there were still the cowherd boys and calves. And he was thinking, but I just put them in the cage. Then all of a sudden, all the cowherd boys and calves turned into Vishnumurtis, and Lord Brahma became completely in shock and awe. And he realized, oh, I have tried to play a trick on my master, but my master has played a trick on me. And so Brahma felt so insignificant when he saw all the Vishnumurtis. Then, within a moment, they disappeared and turned back into the cowherd boys and calves. So Brahma realized and then brought out the original calves and boys. And Krishna was standing by a tree. And he had some fruit in his hand. And Brahma's body is golden. So Brahma fell down like a golden stick, dandavat. And he was crying and rubbing his eyes. And he begged forgiveness, trying to play a trick on his boss, just like you wouldn't play a trick on your boss, would you? Monday, are you going to go into your boss and steal his computer? You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that with your daddy either. So Brahma felt very ashamed, and he offered a stream of beautiful prayers, glorifying Krishna and Krishna's position. And towards the end of his prayers, Brahma said, "How wonderful are the residents of Vrindavan that they have the opportunity to be with Krishna. Even though they don't know that Krishna is God, Krishna stays with them. Krishna takes care of them. Krishna supports them." So Brahma said, "These residents of Vrindavan are so wonderful that in my next birth, I want to take as a bush or a shrub or a plant in Vrindavan so that when the residents of Vrindavan walk, the dust of their feet will fall on my head." Then Krishna excused Brahma and he went back to his position. Then Balaram starts to defeat some demons. The cowherd boys, one day, they went to one forest and there were these tall fruits. I think it's palm, date, something like that. So they wanted those fruits, but that area was guarded by jackasses. And the lead jackass was Dainakasura, big demon. So Balaram and Krishna The cowherd boys went to Balaram and Krishna saying, we want those fruits, but there are those demons in the form of jackasses. So Krishna and Balaram went there. Balaram, Yes? Took the Nakasura? Huh? Yes, Balaram. That Balaram. Balaram Aki.
Jai.
So Balaram took Dainakasura, flung him into the tree, and he died. Then Krishna and Balaram grabbed more jackasses and whirled them around and threw them on the tops of the trees, killing them. It looked like a painting. Then all the cowherd boys and Krishna, they ate those delicious taal fruits. Then what happened next? There was the appearance of Kaliya, the black, deadly, poisonous snake. And he had taken over a certain lake in Vrindavan. And everything on the bank of that lake had died because of Kaliya's poison. He was so poisonous. Everything was dead. And Krishna decided that he was going to take care of this Kaliya because the river Yamuna is so important to the residents of Vrindavan. Now we have a new Kaliya called Industry. Now, isn't it true? Yamuna is again deadly poison. Is that true? I have heard. Very, very poisonous. It's all because of industry. So industry means Kaliya, demons. They have poisoned again the Yamuna. So Krishna, he went on a kadamba tree. Now this kadamba tree was the only thing that was not dead. Some say that Garuda, who had once gone there, put some nectar in that tree. And others say, no, when Krishna stepped on the tree, it came to life. So difference of opinion. So Krishna climbed up that kadamba tree and entered and made a big splash. And Kaliya thought, who is disrupting my home? I am living here peacefully. Who is disturbing? So Kaliya saw Krishna. And he had so many coils and hoods. He had Krishna in his grasp. And all the cowherd boys, they ran. And they told Mother Yashoda, Krishna has been captured by the serpent in the lake. Yashoda goes mad. And she runs into the Yamuna to save Krishna, but the men hold her back. Meanwhile, Balaram is smiling. Everybody else in Vrindavan is going crazy. Oh, Krishna, what will happen to Krishna? Balaram is smiling, just like he's smiling right now, isn't he? Is Balaram smiling? Yes. Balaram knew, hey, I know my brother. Don't worry. But everybody else was freaking out. For 2 hours, Krishna was wrapped up in the coils of Kaliya. For 2 hours, everybody, Mother Yashoda had fainted. Finally, Krishna expanded himself and he got loose from Kaliya. Then Krishna showed that he is the greatest dancer, not Lord Shiva. Not Michael Jackson Asura. Krishna is the greatest dancer. So Krishna dances on Kaliya's hoods. He had 100 main hoods and he had hundreds of others. So Krishna is pushing down with his feet. Pushing, going from one hood to the other. But he, you know the Bharatanatyam, when they dance, you can hear the sound of the foot on the floor, right? It's not, you know, tippy-toe. The Bharatanatyam dance is a heavy. So Krishna is pushing down with his kicking. He's actually kicking on the head of Kaliya. And the bottom of Krishna's feet is reddish. So it looks like Kaliya's head is being turned red because Krishna is pouncing and dancing and pushing down, beating him into submission. Kaliya is trying to fight, but Krishna is no match. Forget about this Pacquiao Mayweather. That's no fighting. That's sudras. This is the real fight. Krishna is dancing on Kaliya, pushing him down. And Kaliya is getting weaker and weaker. And finally his wives come. And they are pure devotees. The Nagapatnis, they come. And they start to pray to Krishna. And they offer beautiful prayers to Krishna. And one of their prayers is quoted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That how this Kaliya is so fortunate that he has the dust of your feet on his head. Something that the goddess of fortune has been praying for. And so many devotees are doing austerities and penances to get. And this sinful husband of ours, what has he done to deserve the dust of Krishna's lotus feet on their head, on his heads? So the Nagapatnis pray, please, we know our husband's a rascal. That's very interesting. They knew he was a rascal. And so they said to Krishna, we know he's a demon, but that's his nature. So you kindly excuse him. So because of the prayers of the Nagapatnis, Krishna didn't kill Kaliya. There were two demons that Krishna didn't kill. Who was the other demon that he didn't kill? Let's see who knows Krishna Leela. There was one more demon he didn't kill. Am I the only one who knows? Come on. Yes, Banasura. Hey, Haribol. You came all the way. Jai. Banasura. Banasura, he gave an arm clip, not a haircut, an arm cut. But that's Dwarka Leela. We won't do that. Next year we'll do Dwarka Leela. So he punished Kaliya, didn't kill him. But then he told Kaliya, you cannot stay in Vrindavan because of your poison. Go. So Prabhupada said, where did he go? Fiji. Prabhupada said that Kaliya went to Fiji. So the scientists can now go and do expedition. Don't go to Mars. Try to find Kaliya. See where he is in Fiji. So after this, there was another demon, Pralambasura. Pralambasura decided that he would try to kill Krishna, and so he disguised himself as a cowherd boy. But Krishna could detect that this was a cheater pretending. So it was arranged that there was a competition and the losers had to be carried by the winners. The losers had to carry the winners. That's right. The losers had to carry the winners. So Pralambasura's party was defeated. And who did he carry? Balaram. But as this cowherd boy was carrying Balaram, he realized Balaram is very heavy. Very heavy. So he started to assume his real form. And Balaram is thinking, what kind of cowherd boy is this? So then Balaram punched him. And Pralambasura was dead. Then what happens next? There is the summer and autumn seasons. And Shukadeva Goswami gives a very, very instructive explanation of how the different items of the summer and autumn season, and uses it as an analogy to explain very nice confidential Vedic knowledge. Then there's another occasion where the gopis and Mother Yashoda, they're all describing how wonderful is the effect of Krishna's flute. That each of the gopis are saying that when Krishna plays his flute, the birds are attracted. The river Yamuna becomes stunned. The calves no longer will drink from the udders of the cow. They remain stuck. Everything in Vrindavan becomes simply bewildered and enamored when they hear the sound of Krishna's flute. And Prabhupada writes that the gopis are always meditating on the sound of Krishna's flute. And because they're always meditating on the sound of Krishna's flute, that kind of meditation keeps them enlivened, encouraged, and enthused. Then Prabhupada makes an amazing statement. We can also hear the sound of Krishna's flute, but you have to know where to find it. Who knows where the sound of Krishna's flute is hiding? Nobody knows? I'll give you a clue. Now, tell me, where the sound of Krishna's flute is hiding, and it's not the beads, in the Maha Mantra. And Prabhupada says that like the gopis, they're always meditating on the sound of Krishna's flute. We can follow in their footsteps by always meditating on the Maha Mantra. Can you teach it to me? And one day, when your chanting is perfect, you will hear that flute. So until then, don't stop chanting. Prabhu, how long I have to chant? Have you heard Krishna's flute yet? Keep chanting. Because I'm asked that question, and that's one of the answers I give. Have you heard Krishna's flute? And I don't mean you played a tape of that guy. Who's that famous flute player? From India. Yeah, not that flute. That flute is imitation. But the sound of Krishna's flute, until you hear that, keep chanting. Even if it takes you 1 billion lifetimes. But Prabhupada said what? Chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, when will you go back to Godhead? Huh? This life. How many believe Prabhupada? I have met someone, initiated devotee, he doesn't believe that. But I believe it, and you believe it, right? Right. Stick with Prabhupada. Believe Prabhupada. It's right there so many times. It's written. Chant 16 rounds. Follow how many principles? Not 3.5. 4 regulative principles, and you will go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. I hope to see you there. And if I don't make it, put in a good word with Krishna for me. Okay? All right. So the gopis are always meditating on the sound of Krishna's flute. Then, of course, there is the pastime, which I mentioned at the beginning of the Rasalila, Krishna stealing the clothes of the gopis in order to fulfill their desire, because Krishna did not perform Rasalila for himself. It's not that Krishna had a lusty desire, no. Krishna performed the Rasalila to satisfy the gopis' desire, not his own. Because Krishna is what? Aptakam, self-satisfied. Krishna is Atmaram. And Prabhupada says, Krishna does not require anyone's love. He is complete in himself. So Krishna did the rasa dance to fulfill the desires of the gopis because they each wanted Krishna as their husband. But that was not possible. So by doing the rasa dance, he fulfilled their desire in one night. That's Krishna. One night, everything's taken care of. Next, that's Krishna. Yes. I remember in the early days when I joined the movement, there was an expression that you would be a brahmachari, and then one day you would think, oh, I need to get married. So they used to say, yes, you can get married, and Krishna will arrange that this will be the marriage to end all marriages. In other words, it'll be arranged in such a way that all your desires will be either fulfilled or frustrated, and you'll have no more desire, and you'll go back home, back to Godhead. Because what happens? This is what happens. I think that I'm marrying Devahuti, but I wind up marrying Putana. And the girl is thinking, I am marrying Kardava Muni, but he winds up to be Kamsa. That sometimes happens. So anyway, whatever the case may be, chant Hare Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. All right. So after this, one day the cowherd boys are hungry. So Krishna tells the cowherd boys, oh, over there are some Brahmins. They're doing Angir Ras. They're doing some sacrifice. Go there. They'll give you some food. So the cowherd boys go to the Brahmins. And the Brahmins say, bah, what are you doing? We don't have time for this now. We're getting ready for our yajna. Go away. And the cowherd boys said, we're in the coming for you from Balaram and Krishna. Brahman said, go away. We're busy here. We're setting up the yajna. Go away. So the cowherd boys went back. Krishna, we did what you said, but they wouldn't feed us. Krishna said, that is the way of begging. When you go begging, you don't get from from everybody. Just like anyone who's done Sankirtan. Not everybody takes the book. Some people take the book. Some people say, go to hell. That happens. This happens to everybody. Even in Los Angeles, there's that book distributor who has gone out every day since 1973, Brigupati. So some days he goes out, he distributes so many books. Next day he goes out, no books. That's Sankirtan. It's all up to Krishna. So Krishna and Balaram, Krishna said, now, you go to the wives of the brahmanas because they're my devotees. Those brahmanas, they're not my devotees. But their wives, they're my devotees. They will feed you. So the cowherd boys go to the wives of those same brahmins. And as soon as the wives hear the names Krishna and Balaram, they didn't give the cowherd boys food. They packed the food and brought it to Krishna and Balaram. Because as soon as they heard Krishna and Balaram, they immediately, just like the gopis, they went straight to Krishna. Because, like Krishna said, they're my devotees. Krishna knows who is his devotee. If you're a devotee, Krishna knows who you are. That's his business. His business is to know who is his real bhakta. So, when they brought the food, Krishna sent to the wives of the Brahmins, oh, I know that you are my pure devotees, but you should return home. Your husbands are going to need you for the yajna. And then what did they say? No, we don't want to go back to our husbands. And they also knew the philosophy, just like the gopis. When Krishna told them to go home, they said, wait a second. We know who you are. And we know that anyone who surrenders to you, you're supposed to give them shelter. Give us shelter. We're going to stay here with you. But Krishna again said, no, no, no. You don't develop devotion to me just by being near me. You develop devotion by doing, hearing, chanting, worshiping the 9 items of devotional service. So Krishna told the wives of the Brahmins, you go back to your husbands. By this time, the Brahmins realized they had made a mistake. And they admitted, we were wrong. We should have given to Krishna and Balaram. And this was great. They recognized, we are not as great as our wives. Our wives are first-class devotees. They immediately went to Krishna. We didn't. So our wives are greater. So husbands, if it turns out your wife is a better devotee, you should be grateful. And tell her, like I tell my wife, she is a greater devotee than me. So even though I'm a puffed up man, I have to tell her, actually, you are a greater devotee than me. So the Brahmins decided, we are going to be like our wives. We are going to surrender. But then they remembered Kamsa, and they got scared. So they could not surrender like their wives. Then comes the episode that every Gujarati loves like anything. What's the next episode? What? What's the next episode? Can't hear. Yes! Govardhan. How many of you are Gujarati here? Do you like Govardhan Leela? Right? Your Nathji deity, isn't that Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill? Am I right? So, Krishna now saw that his father was also doing some fruitive ritual like these Brahmins. Krishna now is 7 years old, and so he sees his father is very busy doing all this stuff. So he says, Father, what are you doing? And so Nanda Maharaj doesn't think that Krishna can understand, but he tries to explain that, my dear son, we are cowherd men, and we need rain, just like where I come from, California. We have no water. We have a big drought for several years. So Nanda explained that since we're cowherd men, we do this annual worship of Indra because rain comes from Indra. And so we need the rain, so we're going to worship Indra. Now Krishna had a plan in mind. Krishna knew that Indra was puffed up. So Krishna wanted to punish Indra. So he told his father, you know what? I don't think we should worship Indra. Because when he pours rain in the ocean and in the other places that don't need rain. Why we have to worship Indra? We are cowherd people. We should just do our prescribed duties of taking care of the cows. What need do we have of this Indra? Krishna was trying to make Indra angry. He wanted that. He wanted to instigate. But Nanda said, no, it's not good. We have to do this. So Krishna said, no, instead of worshiping Indra, you know what? Our whole existence is dependent on Govardhan Hill. Our whole life is based on this. We should worship Govardhan Hill and the cows. So Nanda said, okay, Krishna, let us worship Indra first. Then we'll do this worship that you're recommending of Govardhan Hill. But Krishna said, no, there's not enough time. We can't waste the funds. So, like I said at the very beginning, everyone loves Krishna, so Nanda relented and gave in to Krishna. So they didn't worship Indra. And Krishna told them, this is how I want you to worship Govardhan Hill. Make all kinds of food. Ah, this is why I like Krishna. Make all kinds of food. And he gives the list. There's no burgers and no tacos in Krishna's list. No pizza. Krishna doesn't like that stuff. Krishna likes pakoda, samosa, kachuri, dal, rice, ghee, not oil. Krishna likes ghee. Krishna likes rubbery, sweet rice, all kinds of soups, chapatis, puris. Are you getting hungry again? Huh? Yes. This is the kind of food Krishna likes. Not chow mein. Krishna likes this kind of food. And I like the food that Krishna likes. So, Krishna said, decorate the cows, and we're going to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. So, the cows were dressed up, they worshiped the Brahmins, and they started to worship Govardhan Hill. And Krishna said, with the food, everyone should be fed sumptuously, even the outcasts, even the dogs can be fed. So if you have pets, you can give them prasadam. It's all right. Because on this day, Krishna said, even the dogs should get prasad. So when they started to worship Govardhan Hill, a separate form of Krishna was manifested, and Krishna appeared like he was Govardhan Hill. He assumed a great form, and he was eating all the offerings. And then the seven-year-old Krishna was with the rest of the residents of Vrindavan, circumambulating Govardhan Hill and paying obeisances. So Krishna was paying obeisances to himself. That means, as we say in America, Krishna is cool. That he can manifest a separate form and pay obeisances to himself. So that's another reason why anyone who says he's God. If you're God, I want to see a separate form, and I want to see you bow down to your separate form. If you can't do that, you're not God. Just like we saw in the Rasa dance, Krishna manifested thousands of forms to dance with the gopis. So if someone says they're God, okay, I want to see you expand yourself in so many different forms. Then I will accept you as God. But they can't do that. They can only cheat and bluff and produce ash. That's not proof that you're God, that you produce some gold up your sleeve. That doesn't make you God. Meanwhile, up in the heavens, Indra is getting very angry at the residents of Vrindavan. And he blames Krishna. These residents of Vrindavan, they have become puffed up. They're not doing their annual sacrifice to me. I am the king of heaven. They're listening to this over-talkative seven-year-old child, Krishna. These residents of Vrindavan must be punished. They're listening to this Krishna, who's just an ordinary boy. So Indra calls, Samvartaka, come. The clouds of devastation come. Indra says, I want you to go and decimate Vrindavan. They have become puffed up. And the clouds were hesitant. They didn't want to go. So Indra said, don't worry, I'm also coming. I will come on my elephant. What's his elephant's name? Airavata. So for 7 days and seven nights, Indra sent the clouds of devastation, and it rained, and it was freezing cold, and there was hail and blistering winds, and the water was rising. There was going to be a flood. So Krishna said, no. We know that verse from Bhagavad Gita. My devotee is never vanquished. What to speak of the residents of Vrindavan, their topmost devotees. Konteya pratijanahi name bhakta padasyati. So Krishna decided, I will save the residents of Vrindavan. So with his little finger of his left hand, Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill and told the residents of Vrindavan, come, I have made an umbrella for you. And so all the residents of Vrindavan came under the umbrella of Govardhan hill, and for 7 days, Krishna held the hill effortlessly, just as effortlessly it is for me to lift my medicine container. So easily, Krishna lifted Govardhan hill. And only one time did it shake. When did it shake? When Krishna glanced at Radharani, he got a little distracted. Otherwise, perfectly holding it up. After 7 days, Indra realized, uh-oh, I have made a big boo-boo. I have made a big mistake. So Indra called off the clouds. The waters receded. Sun was shining. Krishna told the residents, okay, you can go back home. And he put down the Govardhan back in its place. This time Indra came along with Mother Surabhi. And Indra came and he fell at Krishna's feet with his shining crown and begged forgiveness, apologizing for his nonsense. And Krishna told Indra, Indra, don't be puffed up. Remember, Indra, you're only Indra because I permit you to be Indra. I can take away anyone's power, anyone's position at any time because I am the Supreme. So Krishna says, when somebody gets too puffed up, I bring them down from their position. I hope Mr. Christie is listening. So Krishna told Indra, you can go back and be Indra, but don't be puffed up. And so everything returns back to normal. Then there's an incident where Krishna shows the residents of Vrindavan the spiritual sky and where they will go in their next life. We already did the Rasa Leela, and then Kamsa comes up with a plan and he decides to send Akrura to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, where he has a plan where he will kill, but as it turns out, Kamsa was killed. I'm now exhausted. I can't go anymore. So please forgive my offenses and thank you for this ecstasy. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Would you like a blessing? All right, fold your hands like this. Close your eyes. My dear Lord Krishna, bless these devotees when they install their temple properly in August. Is that right, August? that when your temple officially opens in August, may this temple be the best temple in all of ISKCON. May you cooperate together. May you don't have any fights. And may this temple grow and grow. And Krishna, please allow me to come back next year. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much.